This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler joins me live in studio on Tuesday afternoons at this time. He's the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. You play much poker? Are you a poker guy?
I'm not a poker guy.
Were you in college?
Never.
Really?
Never been into poker.
I played a lot of poker and a lot of spades.
I just don't like gambling, period.
Well, you gotta gamble.
I'm not a gambling man.
You're not. You don't like go to Vegas every spring or?
I've never been to Vegas.
I never have either. You been to Atlantic City?
Never been to Atlantic City.
You know, I think even if I did go, I wouldn't really get into the gambling part. Although there are people who do go. I know people who go and they love it, man.
I mean, it's set up so people make money off of you, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I have a
little
problem
with.
That's
the whole goal. You're there to give them money.
I like to think I'm smarter than that.
Yeah. But there are people who sit there at those little machines, Brian, you know, all day long. They sit there at those little machines pulling on that thing. They get their arms hurt so much.
If I was going to gamble, though, that's the kind of gambling I would do because there's no thought required. You know, you just put the money in, pull the trigger.
Yeah.
That would be my kind of gambling.
I would do, what's the one where they put the ball on the little wheel?
Roulette.
I'd do roulette. And if it came up black, I'd bet on red. If it came up black again, I'd double down on red. That's what I do. Just go back and forth. I think you can win that way.
I don't even know what that means, Coy. But I did gamble yesterday with my car.
Oh, you did?
I drove it through the spaceship here in Charlottesville.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Over there across from St. Anne's. Yep. The new car wash.
The new car wash.
Is open for business.
And, you know, I wash my car once a year, so.
Do you really? No. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You gotta wash it more than that. All this salt on the road, it's gonna destroy your paint.
It seems to be doing just fine.
Oh, no. Gets in there underneath where you can't see it.
Yeah, but by the time I see it, I'll have a new car.
Oh, well, is that the plan?
Well, I buy cars and I run them into the ground.
Yeah, me too.
And so far, this one's doing pretty well. But I drove through the spaceship. I was skeptical.
This blue and white thing, right?
I was skeptical it would get all this. Because I like this. I like the car washes where the things actually touch your car.
I'm just the opposite.
And rub it. And,
oh, no. It's so bad for your car.
Oh, but it just feels like that would get it cleaner.
No.
But
it's not.
So that was my thinking.
Just the opposite. Yeah.
And I'm looking at my car and I'm thinking, you know, it's got a year of mud amplified by the recent snow event. And all its mud in my driveway, which is not paved. Yeah. And
Rain was nice, though. Washed away some of the snow, wasn't
so
it?
So I thought I would sort of go through and it would get a pre-cleaning, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'd have to go home and really scrub it.
Right, right.
I tell you, it looks like I have a brand new car out there.
I've been through that thing twice. I went through and paid the cheapest, and then I went through another time and paid the most expensive to see the difference. Mm-hmm. And I concur with you. That thing's good.
I saw the difference as far as which number you press on the machine.
Yeah.
I picked the middle one.
About what, $7, $8, $9?
Like $9, which, yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money for me to spend on a car wash.
Yeah, it is.
But, of course, I only do it once a year.
It's almost a haircut.
So, I picked the middle one, but somebody in front of me obviously picked the expensive one.
They were in there for a while.
They were in there a long time.
It's like, get out of the tub. Are you done yet? Hey, out of there.
I'm like, I'm in the wrong line. What's going on in there?
I went through with the cheapest one, I think, is $5. And it basically just sprays your car down. And I could tell the difference when I went through again and just tried the most expensive. It looked beautiful.
Those jets are pretty strong.
I was really looking
at my windows, afraid that you know the water was going to sneak by them somehow.
I like the ones, and this one does not touch your car at all. It goes all the way around, goes underneath. It'll spray as you're going. It'll give you the underneath spray, which is critical. You got to get the salt from underneath too.
Have you ever been in a car wash with an animal that freaks out while you're in the car wash?
2 8-year-olds, does that count?
I was thinking of the four-legged
variety. No, do you got a dog that doesn't like those car washes?
I've been in a car with a dog, and I can't even remember which one of our dogs it was. It might have been a dog-in-law. But anyway, we went through one once, and the dog freaked out.
Just totally freaked?
Yeah.
Well, this car wash works. I like the car washes where you actually, the wand car washes, where you actually get out and wash it yourself. That's what I prefer.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Are there any? I know there's one
There's one over at the Martins over in Waynesboro.
I was going to say, that's the one I usually go to. When I'm over there, I'll go to that one right next to the Lowe's. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, right next to that is where they're going to build that new movie theater.
Yep.
Digital stadium seating.
We know you're excited about that,
Corey. I am excited. I rented a movie this weekend called The Hurt Locker. You ever seen that?
No.
about this bomb unit in Iraq. It's a good movie. Hmm. It's not a fantastic movie, but it was good. Kept
so
my
it's
attention.
Like current affairs.
Yeah, it's just the opposite of Spy Next Door, which my son insisted on seeing. Hmm. So I took he and my daughter to see The Spy Next Door this weekend.
Okay.
It was painful.
Painful.
It was painful. Yeah. It's so, I mean, it's perfect if you're like 9 or 10 years old. I think it'd be fun. It's a Jackie Chan movie, but it's a bad Jackie Chan movie. There's good Jackie Chan and bad Jackie Chan. Anyway, you see any good movies recently? Anything good you want to talk about?
I can't.
You're a movie guy, aren't you? You're a Netflix guy.
We tried to go see Avatar, but it was sold out, so we didn't get into that one.
I do want to see
that. We did see a couple over the holiday, but I'm totally blanking.
Oh, but you're a Netflix guy, right?
We get Netflix.
Somebody told me you can get Netflix, and you can like get it online, too.
Coy, Brace, are you sitting down, Coy?
Yeah.
You know what's coming? You know what you have at home that will soon be Netflix friendly?
No! Get out! Are you serious?
See,
so excited.
The Nintendo...
Not that I have time, but...
The Nintendo Wii game console.
Which I have.
They
I have
just
one.
Announced... Now, Coy, first you have to put it on the internet. Remember, oh, yeah. You're all worried about security and
I
all
didn't
that?
Want to do that, because can they come in your house?
This is the kind of thing you can take advantage of. You put it on the net, on your, you know, the wireless network
which
in your
you
house,
do, right?
Which I do at home.
Yeah.
It's a secure network. You know, somebody would have to park in my driveway and spend a lot of time trying to hack into my
yeah,
network.
Yeah, but can the sure Wii people come in and like...
I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, if you hook it up, you'll be able to take advantage of Netflix and just download them, stream them on demand.
Wow. That's amazing.
Won't that be exciting?
Somebody told me that I think you can do that with the PlayStation 3. That you can... PlayStation 3 will play a Blu-ray and it'll also hook up to the internet and download Netflix movies. And Hulu.
You know,
and so you watch it on your TV.
It's just amazing what we have access to.
It's like the Jetsons,
isn't it? I have my little iPhone, and it has a Netflix app. And you know, if I just feel like I got to get that, if you just told me a movie, which I needed to get, I'd just go to my Netflix app and dial it up. And
put it in the queue.
Put it in the queue. Of course, my kids would demote it later in the day, but...
You need your own queue.
I could try.
Yeah. Brian Wheeler with Charlottesville tomorrow. We're going to continue this conversation on the other side. A quick break. This is Charlottesville right now.
Silva Landisberg drives into the lane, gets past the defense, and stuffs it down with a one-hand jam.
Defensively, it was one of our better performances. Just
carry the team on her back. She just played, and that's what we needed her to do today.
It's head coach Tony Bennett and Debbie Ryan.
Hey.
It's 19 minutes after 5 o'clock, 5:19 on the clock on the wall. It's 56 degrees. I hope you're having a great Tuesday. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville. Right now. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and it's official. We both agree that the new car wash is pretty cool. It's worthy of its design, put it that way. Which is just freaky.
No, I don't know what people think of the design, but it does look...
I think it's freaky.
Pretty freaky.
Yeah.
So I was talking about my iPhone and Netflix, but there's another great app on the iPhone, the Charlottesville Tomorrow app.
Oh, y'all have your own app now?
Oh, yeah. For the past year, we've had an app on the iPhone.
How in the world? What do you do that? You just RSS it onto there? Is that how it works?
Some programmers actually approached us and said, we want to create this for you as an experiment.
And you said, I want to let you.
I said, please do.
And you like it?
Oh, it's great.
What is it? It gets you into the newsroom so you can get the latest?
It does. And we're going to spice this up a little bit. I hope this year if we get a little support to do that. But the cool thing it has is the calendar. And I wanted to start by pointing out there are two big meetings tonight, and I'm referencing them in my iPhone because I wanted to check the times. But the because it was a holiday yesterday, that's one of the reasons I'm discombobulated a little bit here. But
because there are some meetings that were usually supposed to be on Monday nights, but
City Council
they're going to be
Mondays,
tonight. Yeah.
They're meeting tonight. And that's at 7 o'clock at City Hall. If you are interested in water supply and dams.
Ooh, water supply and dams.
Big update on both those topics tonight in front of City Council.
Really?
Of course, you can watch it on TV. You can stream it over the internet. Charlottesville is very progressive in how they share that information, but you can also go and speak directly to them.
They've come a long way back in the old days. Remember Channel 10 back in the old days when...
I didn't watch Channel 10 back in the old days.
I had a show on Channel 10 back in the old days. Way back.
Wow.
Almost 20 years ago. It was the first cable access show.
You and what's his name?
Rick Moore, WNRN.
Well, no, I was thinking of who's that funny guy, the comedian? Not comedian, but...
A public access comedian?
Yeah. He had Trevor Moore.
Yes, indeed. Trevor Moore came after me, but indeed.
Okay.
He's gone on to much bigger and better and funnier things.
Yes.
But yeah, that was way back in the day, summer of 92. We had a little TV show called Barefoot Excursions.
But serious business tonight in front of City Council. They'll be talking about water and dams. And the they're getting an update on all the studies that are going on by the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority. They're also going to talk about whether the city should pay for another study, which would be to study the lower Ragged Mountain Dam, the dam that the current water plan that was approved in 2006, that plan envisions replacing the dam, actually building a brand new one downstream of the existing dam.
And then just drowning the existing dam.
Yeah, and they would take it apart in some fashion. But yeah, the question in front of City Council tonight is, do they want to study the possibility, feasibility of engineering some sort of structure that could go on top of the existing
to save some money?
It would be lower, but it could be cheaper, might be more expensive. That's why they would have to study this.
Who would do the study? Schnabel?
Schnabel is the current engineering firm. They've got a proposal in front of...
Sounds like a Saturday Night Live sketch. Somebody call Schnabel.
And but, you know, one of the things Tom Frederick points out in his staff report is if the city wanted to hire somebody else, they could do that.
Yeah.
They could run the study.
But isn't Schnabel the one designing the new big dam?
They're designing the new dam.
So then why would they do a study to see if you didn't need the new dam? Wouldn't their study obviously say, you need our new dam? You see what I mean?
Well, one of the things, they were asked that very question by members of the public.
Government does some funny things.
In front of City Council. But one of the things they said, Coy, which you may not expect, and I think this is still open to question because it needs to be studied and some numbers need to be put on paper. But the initial reaction was it might be more expensive to build on top of the old dam, sort of like renovating a house. Sometimes if the renovations are so significant and you have to think about the cost of like moving out of the house and living somewhere else, it may be cheaper to build a new house next door.
Yeah.
I don't know if that analogy holds water, so to speak, but that's my
So all of that tonight in City Hall at 7 o'clock.
And the other thing to think
Less
about...
Less than 2 hours.
The other thing to think about, Coy, is that dam currently holds back our existing water supply. And so if they were to work on it, they would have to lower the water level to work on both sides of that structure to do things to it. And the question is, how low would it have to go? And how long could we afford to have less storage capacity?
You're on a well, aren't you?
Of water. I'm on a well.
I'm on a well. I'm on public. Do you drink your water that comes out of your well? Or do you buy the water you drink?
No, we drink it.
You do drink it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's good and clean and... Yeah.
We're on a community well, one of the few in the county.
Wow.
So our neighborhood.
I've never heard of those.
Our neighborhood and Peacock Hill nearby both have community water supplies.
Wow.
So we have a shared well house.
Is there a reservoir or it's all coming right out of an aquifer? Or does it come up and sit somewhere?
There's a pump that brings it up out of underground and it goes into storage tanks that are actually next to our property.
Oh, there you go.
So there's a pressure tank, storage tank, and
very cool.
Keeps everyone happy.
And there's also another big meeting tonight.
The other big one.
Just about 35 minutes from now.
And that's the Albemarle County Planning Commission. They will be talking about all things industrial land inventory in Albemarle County. Do we have enough industrial land for new business and for existing businesses to expand? They've got a report that's been freshly prepared by Albemarle County staff. Susan Steinmart pulled that together and was the feature of a story in the Sunday Daily Progress that we helped out with on this report.
What do you think is going to be the... Has that report been released already to the public?
It has been released. It came out last week. There's a link to it on our website, SeavilleTomorrow.org, and you can read it yourself. In general, what it says is that there is a lot of industrial land in the county, but the comprehensive plan is our big guide for how we're going to use the land, and the master plans are sort of the detailed guides.
Yeah.
Our plan says we have a lot of land. The problem is the existing zoning, the zoning that people hold today on property they own, doesn't match up with the plan. And that happens all the time.
So the comp plan could say this is industrial land here, but then when you look at the master plan and you zero in on that area, it's not zoned industrial?
Well, think of it this way. The existing owners may have had it as a farm, and then 50 years later, the county decided that was a growth area, right? And hey, that's close to the airport. We should put some industry there. But maybe that land never changed hands, and the person has never asked to have it rezoned. So it still carries it's grandfathered zoning, so to speak. It's still rural.
But the comp plan says, if somebody wants to make this industrial, we'll say yes.
Right.
I got it.
So
there is industrial land then there for the taking.
There are ideas for industrial land, but it's out of sync with what's currently zoned. So the question is, how does the county rectify that? Does it need to rectify that? Do we have enough space at the North Fork and Fontaine Research Parks? One of the things that was cleared up for me today by a member of the Board of Supervisors, you often hear that UVA will only allow industries that are affiliated with the university into their research parks. Apparently, that's not true. And they said that there are a number of businesses that have been in the North Fork Research Park that are not directly, incubated out of the university.
That's news to me because I assumed that would have been the case.
Apparently not. So that needs to be factored in. The decision makers, the Planning Commission, will take a hard look at this. It's going to be fast track, though, because it's part of the new action plan that was approved by the Board of Supervisors to get this report and review it quickly. The Planning Commission gets their first look at it tonight. They will take public comment. And then in February, it'll be coming in front of the Board of Supervisors. One of the key things to talk about there in the future will be Yancey Mills out in Crozet. That's rural area land that was not intended to be developed.
That'll get approved.
The question is, will that become a business park? Another place they've talked about is 250 East past Pantops and I-64. There's some highway commercial strips there, and there's some interest, renewed interest, I think, in looking at that highway interchange and seeing if there should be more business.
And all of this comes, of course, from the fact that Dwayne Snow and Rodney Thomas ran on this idea of increasing industrial land in the county as a way of opening up opportunities and opening doors to new business. But if I hear you, the comp plan, they're saying we already have that. So they just need to go in and zone it, change the zoning. But you don't change the zoning unless there's a request, right?
Well, that's
you don't that's you don't go to somebody and say, hey, your farm is now industrial land. Sorry.
Well, it can be done, but obviously the county wants to find a landowner that's willing and wants to do a project. Another issue, Coy, is the definition of light industrial may need some tweaking. Right now, some industrial land gets used for office space, and that's a higher use than it was really intended for by a lot of people. It's perfectly fine to do that.
Yeah.
But by converting and rezoning a number of light industrial sites, either using it for office or converting it to residential, which we've done up near the airport, we've lost some inventory in our light industrial land. So one of the people featured in the article we wrote Sunday is a landscaper. He wants a place to expand his business, put his trucks and equipment. Doesn't have a lot of heavy equipment, but he needs a place to park a backhoe.
It's light industrial.
Light industrial. And that land is, he says, is hard to find in the designated growth area where it's intended to go at a price that's reasonable. One of the reasons the price is difficult and high is because people are buying that land and using it for other things, offices. So they may revisit the definition of light industrial as part of this discussion.
Interesting. That's really
interesting. When we come back from the break, we should talk more about Ken Boyd's action plan for Albemarle County. And that was something that I think is going to have a big impact on where we go this year.
We'll do that. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow, and we will continue this conversation after a break for local news and weather. You're listening to Charlottesville right now. He also wants to run for Congress, and it's almost like you could see the light bulb going on at some point where he just realized, or somebody close to him realized, wait a minute, you got the votes. You don't have to be chairman. You got the votes. Just write down your agenda and walk in at the first meeting with you. Tell everybody what you're going to do.
Well, I can't really speculate on that, but I do know what happened on the first meeting of 2010 when the Board of Supervisors convened.
He walked in with an agenda.
He came in with a plan.
Yeah.
And we didn't really get to talk about it too much on the show because we were doing our top 10 list from last year and top 10 for this year.
Politically, I find it really interesting.
But this is in the top 10 right now. If I had to write a list right now, this would be at the top. Mr. Boyd came in. Of course, he had he knew he had the votes to get this passed with the two new members elected, Dwayne Snow representing the Samuel Miller district, Rodney Thomas representing the Rio district. And then Lindsay Doyer, a Democrat, coming along and joining those three Republicans.
As an aside, how is Lindsay Doyer a Democrat? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why is he still with the party?
When things like this happen, I think the party affiliation sort of stands out and gets your attention. For the most part, though, growth and development, I mean, my experience watching the board, these are not really partisan issues in my mind. Now, there are certainly approaches that either party is more likely to take. And you could sort of say, oh, well, the Democrats will be likely to do X and the Republicans will be likely to do Y. But, you know, our board has had a mix of people, independents, Democrats, Republicans. Yeah, yeah. This is certainly a shift.
Well, there's a whole strain of political scientists who really believe that local government is not partisan. There's nothing partisan about trash pickup. Well, but if you
study government, what do you look, if you want to say what do the Democrats stand for, what do you look at? You look at the party platform, right?
Yeah.
The same with the Republicans. To my knowledge, the local Republicans in the county and the local Democrats in the county don't have party platforms related to local issues that I know about.
The closest you get to it is what a candidate might say during a campaign.
Right. And then is that partisan related to their party, or is it just who they are as an individual?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, the city Republicans did release a platform last year. They didn't run a candidate for city council, but they did come up with a local platform.
Yeah.
But again, I'm not aware of a Republican or Democratic platform. So you said, how does Doerr fit into that?
Yeah.
In a vote like that, it does get your attention. But again, I think Mr. Doerr has been pretty consistent, being more conservative in his point of view on things like taxes and spending.
Yeah.
So he's been consistent on that front. Whether that matches with Scottsville Democrats and their thinking or not is a matter for the electorate to decide. But up to this point, they've decided they like Lindsay Doerr.
There you go. It keeps sending him back. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he continues to vote and did vote with the new Republican or more conservative faction of the board, which is now in the majority.
And this is what Neil Williamson had to say on the Free Enterprise Forum blog. He said, the political shifts in Albemarle are nothing less than seismic. If the new boards are able to make significant progress regarding economic development and the reduction of onerous regulatory barriers, the community will be stronger for their efforts. So there's one observer who goes to all these meetings saying, you know, this is potentially a good thing. It's a seismic shift in thinking at the board level. But others, like Jeff Werner at the Piedmont Environmental Council, quickly sent out an email in response to what I'm going to go over here in a second. But when this action plan came out, the Piedmont Environmental Council said, you know, here are the potential impacts with respect to transportation. We may not get the things we're needing in the 29 North Corridor. Grade separated interchanges, the investment in the infrastructure described for places 29, they said, you know, this action plan says that's all in jeopardy now. And so they put out a call to action saying, come to the Board of Supervisors meeting and tell them to stick with the plan. So you've got interest groups on both sides of some of these political issues reacting strongly to the plan that was put out. Mr. Boyd's plan, and he just handed this out at the meeting under other business, at the beginning of the meeting.
Yeah.
At least Ann Malik and Dennis Rooker, I know, had not seen it.
Well, Dwayne and Rodney were in here the other day, and they said they hadn't seen it either.
Okay. Yeah. So if that's the case, then Mr. Boyd handed out a 6.1-page action plan. Again, this is on cvilletomorrow.org if you want to download it. But it's pretty unusual for somebody to come in with a meaty proposals like that and say, here it is, that's my motion, up or down. And what you heard Ann Malik and Dennis Rooker say was these are very complex things. They were the two that voted against it. They need further discussion. I think Mr. Rooker said, you know, there's some things in here I would agree with, but they need the devil's in the details. And let's have staff give us some feedback and talk about it. So, for example, zero-based budgeting was one of them. Should the county change the way it builds its budget? And Mr. Rooker said, you know, let's ask the county executive what he thinks about that. He's our CEO. He's the one who has to build the budget. Let's ask him if he can do it. And there was a discussion about that. At the end of the day, though, after, you know, 30, 40 minutes of talk, it was voted on. And the 6 points are basically, number one, increase revenues through economic development. The mantra is be business friendly. That's what the new majority on the Board of Supervisors is saying.
Which, of course, the obvious question is, well, what does that mean?
Well, and the minority is saying, when were we not business friendly?
Yeah.
And I think Mr. Rooker, who's been the most outspoken person on that point, would say that Albemarle County, no matter what it does, is going to grow at a certain rate a year, population-wise, University of Virginia-wise, that's the economic engine in the community. Now the National Ground Intelligence Center, the defense industry is another economic engine. Those two things are going to grow no matter what Albemarle decides to do about growth and development.
Right.
Right? And he, in his mind, and he said this publicly, to him, that's enough growth. That's a rate of growth he's comfortable with, and he thinks preserves the quality of life in Albemarle County.
Which is a more traditional rate of growth that we've grown accustomed to in Central Virginia. Is that right? Was that his point?
I think he's saying that that's a rate that he thinks is closer to that sustainable number. That's a rate of growth that doesn't bring with it so many negatives that we can't afford it, that we'll have to raise taxes to pay for it.
Right.
So he's saying one of the reasons we're able to get by with our low tax rate and our AAA bond rating, the smallest county in the country to have a AAA bond rating,
is that we grow really slowly.
Is that we manage our growth, you would say. Okay. The other side, the majority now, says there are too many obstacles. There are too many barriers. It's too hard to get things approved. We need to make it easier. We need to diversify our tax base. We need more commercial businesses opening more quickly. And, you know, they would have loved to have made this argument and had the majority 4 years ago before the downturn. Now we're sort of in this unusual place where the previous boards actually approved a whole lot of new development, right? Biscuit Run, North Point, Hollymead Town Center, Cascadia, Old Trail Village. They agreed on a set of principles in the neighborhood model, and they said, "This, if you want to build in Albemarle County, these are our standards. Build to that. Mixed-use neighborhood model." And initially, some of the developers kicked and screamed and said, too expensive, nobody wants that. Now, actually, they're saying, you're right, everybody wants that. And we're
they want to live in those type of neighborhoods.
They want those types of neighborhoods, and Albemarle is seen as a leader in the Commonwealth for doing that kind of smart growth, that kind of new urbanist development, where you have interconnected parallel roads,
you got a town center.
Have cul-de-sacs.
Yeah.
The state is now saying, we're not going to pay for cul-de-sacs anymore. We don't want those roads in the Virginia road system.
And Albemarle was there ahead of Richmond.
Right. Yeah. So, but that said, now we're in this point where nobody's building anything, right?
Yep.
In this economy, nobody's building anything. So the question is, would a more Dennis Rooker type level of growth reoccur naturally? Because we have this 40-year pipeline of housing that's already been approved in Albemarle. So if you're somebody arguing for more homes, the problem is not that they haven't been approved. The problem is there's no market for them right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Because there's how many homes have already been green-lighted and the county's already said, yes, you can do this here. It's like many, many thousands, right? Wasn't it like 14,000?
I happen to have the number right here. Now, we take Biscuit Run out of there.
Yeah.
I believe the total in the Albemarle growth area, I'm looking at this kind of quickly, total approved 11,909. So I think that's 12,000 homes.
Does that include Biscuit Run?
The city, that takes Biscuit Run out.
Yeah, so it was about 15,000.
And the city has 4,000. In the pipeline.
Already approved.
2,000 approved.
They don't need to go back and...
2,000 approved, 2,000 not approved. So it's a lot of homes. So, now, if you're somebody saying we need more commercial business, I think some people would say, you know what? North Point has commercial development. Albemarle Place will have commercial development. Hollymead Town Center has commercial development. There are places for that, too.
That have already been approved.
That have already been approved. So the question is, are you approving more stuff because somebody's actually is ready now to actually do it, or because that property owner is saying, now's my turn, I need the rezoning, and I don't know when I'm actually going to do it, but I should have the right to do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's complicated. And I guess my observation is I can see where people are coming from both sides. This action plan, the first point there, increase revenues through economic development, is clearly an effort to promote more business-friendly policies.
Yeah. Well, and when Dwayne and Rodney were in here, we're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. When Dwayne and Rodney were here last week, they were saying very clearly, we want to see more commercial development in the growth area so that we don't have to rely on the property taxes of individual homeowners so much. We need that to be more a part of our budget, this commercial growth. Which I personally agree with, speaking for no one but myself, the only problem is you don't have those businesses beating down your door in this economy to be here. And it's not like you're turning them away by the droves. Where are they? I mean, I guess I want to know what big business did we say no to at any point? When, who did we send away? You know what I mean?
And what, you know, and I think maybe one of the things that's missing is a unified view by the Board of Supervisors about what type of business do we want to attract? I think most people would say we don't want a polluting business, a dirty business. We want,
you don't want a paper mill.
We want a smart, technology based business that has a low impact on the environment, that career ladder jobs for our existing population, and for
which, of course, every community wants those,
don't they?
Those new high tech jobs. But the advantage we have here, thanks to a little politics of Mr. Jefferson, we do have the University of Virginia here, which has to be a huge plus, a terrific magnet in that effort on the part of folks here to reach out to get those businesses.
And we have a huge medical sector between Martha Jefferson and UVA's Medical Center. That is a big growth engine in the community, too. I know we're short on time, but I'll just mention the other five items he had on his list.
Yeah.
Zero-based budgeting, you've talked about that on the show. The development review process, streamlining things to make it easier for development projects to be evaluated and approved or denied quickly. Yancey Mills and the 250 East Corridor, those are places where they see potential new businesses out in Crozet, out past Pantops, in areas that maybe are not in the growth area, something they want to have evaluated for future places to have businesses. Berkmar Drive Extended, that's one of those parallel roads that everyone wants to build. The question is,
I want to drive on it.
The question is,
I don't want to build it.
Who's
I want to drive
pay
on
for it? Where's the money going to come from? And do you have to go to Wendell Wood and say, we will rezone land that you have that's in the rural area, bring it into the growth area, if you will help us build a bridge and a road? And how much of that is he willing to pay for?
Yeah.
That's the conversation that will be had there. And then the last one was sign ordinances. Of course, the owner of the Arby's restaurant up 29 North has made a big deal about the county's sign ordinances and concerns about that. So those are the six things Ken Boyd said he wanted to look at in 2010. And by a 4-2 vote, the county board of supervisors said, that's our action plan.
I never got much into that whole Arby's thing, but I read the all that paperwork about it. And the one thing that's never really talked about it that much is, I thought the big complaint on the part of the business owners around the Arby's was not so much about the signs, but it had to do with the fact that they were operating two businesses out of the Arby's. They were operating the inflatables business out of a fast food restaurant, and they were complaining, you've got signs for your inflatables business in the fast food restaurant, and we're all operating and required to have the one business. You're operating two businesses out of your Arby's. And anyway, I thought that was
I didn't really
part of it, and the media never really grabbed onto that.
Well, I didn't either. I didn't follow that angle. I think one of the things that came up in the stuff I read about it was feeling like they were being singled out. And I think one of the things people need to understand is the county's zoning ordinance operates based on complaints. If somebody complains about
squeak
something,
a wheel, yeah,
that's a violation, then they go after it.
Right.
But if there could be a sign down the road that nobody's complained about, and yet, you know, the business owner that's been singled out will drive by that one and say, well, how come he's not in trouble?
Because nobody's complaining about that one.
Right.
Yes, good point. Jim's waiting patiently on the line. Jim, how are you? Happy Tuesday.
Hey, Coy. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure thing.
You asked about what big businesses might have been chased away.
Yeah, course, educate me.
There's a long list, of course, for the city, including CVS and Walgreens. But for the county, didn't we at least pretty much chase away Home Depot, which would have been, I think, a big benefit price-wise to us?
Well, the Home Depot, this is Brian, the Home Depot proposal, the original one coming in across from the Lowe's, was denied by the Board of Supervisors. That was a long time ago. Had to do with critical slope issues on that site. And but that said, on 5th and Avon, on the south side of town, a site is approved for a big home improvement store.
Yeah, I thought it was going to go down there.
So 5th Street and Avon Center is where that's expected to go now, if that developer moves that project forward.
It's supposed to be down there behind the Taco Bell and the Hardee's.
And again, I think, you know, Jim, oftentimes people say, well, you missed an opportunity there. And I think maybe you could critique the timing of it. But at this point, there are other places for a Home Depot if somebody wants to build one.
Yeah. Well, there's always other places to build, but that doesn't necessarily make you the most competitive.
I'm just saying there are other places in Albemarle that are that are have been approved with that in mind.
Yeah. But his point is well taken. We did say no to the Home Depot at that location. Yeah, which I hadn't thought about, but you're exactly right.
Yep.
Okay.
Jim, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. Big meetings tonight at City Hall at 7 o'clock, talking about the water supply and dams and the County Planning Commission. Tonight, they start in just about 4 minutes. Brian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.